The Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by these great sponsors. Are you looking to value your equipment more accurately, target the right buyers and close more deals, reach your ideal customer? Then look no further. Fusible isn't just about ag data, it's about action. Our best-in-class solution empowers you to value your equipment accurately, make informed decisions, and find the perfect prospects. Ignite your dealership's growth at fusible.com/movingiron-podcast. Out in the field, every decision counts. You wouldn't plant without testing your soil, so why would you prospect blind? Introducing EDA, your one-stop shop for ag equipment intel. EDA goes beyond specs and prices. You get deep dive data on every piece of equipment, like UCC filings that help track ownership changes and uncover potential sales leads, D&B firmographics, which help you understand the financial health and buying power of potential customers, market trends that help you stay ahead of the curve, and insights on equipment demands and pricings. With EDA, you're not just looking at data, you're seeing opportunity. You find the right buyer, sell smarter, and build lasting relationships. Visit edadata.com for your free demo and unlock the power of knowledge. For over 80 years, Iron Solutions has been your go-to data source for ag dealers, lenders, and manufacturers. Get powerful appraisal and value forecasting tools that fuel profitable decisions anytime, anywhere. Get your free demo at ironsolutions.com. Iron Solutions, confidence in every click. Today, there are many ways to finance ag equipment, but nobody delivers simple, fast, or flexible financing like AgDirect. Learn more about your options to buy, lease, and refinance equipment at agdirect.com. Valley Transportation has been hauling ag and construction equipment across the country for the past 33 years. Call Parker at 800-657-4910 for all your trucking needs. At Valley Transportation, our goal is to help you reach yours.
When you partner with Axon, you immediately gain access to a full range of products and solutions designed to meet the complex needs of today's grower. We carry all major brands and sizes of tires and wheels. We specialize in large diameter wheels for large equipment. We have one of the largest OEM replacement wheel inventories in North America. Known for extreme flotation setups, duals, and triples, we have wheels for all makes and models of tractors, sprayers, combines, and grain carts. If we don't have the wheel in stock, we'll custom build, sandblast, and paint in-house. There isn't a more vast inventory in North America dedicated to helping dealers move more iron. With facilities on the West Coast and in the heart of the Midwest, leverage our 230,000 square feet of indoor inventory to solve any problem a grower may have. Move more iron with Axon.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. You'll find us here, Moving Iron.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast. I have got an out-of-the-box guest this week. Normally we talk mostly about the equipment side of the business. We're going to spend a little time on the software side of the business. So I've got John Anderson here, and John Anderson is one of the original founders of PFW, and now is an industry consultant, and he's worked with about 500-plus dealer groups across Canada and the United States. So, John, thanks for taking the time to be on the podcast, man.
Pleasure to be here.
Cool, man. So, why don't you give just a brief background about yourself and how you ended up to where you're at today?
That's a long story, and we don't have long time for all of it. So, I'll knock some of the high points off. I started with was one of the original founders of a software company called PFW Systems. We were primarily a software supplier for John Deere. In fact, we were competing against John Deere's own system. I had a wonderful career there. Started doing installations, helping people behind the parts counter in the service department, and then eventually bought the company and stayed there for about 25, almost 30 years before as a principal owner and with some great partners. And we grew that business pretty substantially. And then I'm going to say it was around the downturn in the automotive industry and the equipment industry was waiting diligently at the same time. About 2010, 2012, we decided that it was time to get some capital investment. We were acquired by a company called ADT, which was one of the largest service providers in the automotive industry for dealer systems. So we were probably one of the first to be shaken by a public company, and it later morphed into CDK. And I had a career there. When I left CDK, I was the chief evangelist, and I've always had a vision for equipment dealers, and the good fortune to work with some great development departments and some forward thinkers. And since then, I retired to take care of my family, now I just enjoy life wherever the weather is warmest. I'm talking to you today from sunny Florida. I notice you're wearing a sweater. Good for you. I'm dressed in tropical birds right. Because we're only separated by 50 degrees.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, that's about it. It's been a pretty fun journey to watch how things play out. If you start looking at how AI is starting to make its way into the equipment business and everywhere else, and we're starting to see the equipment side of the business start to morph into some more what you might consider to be, you know, disruptors along the way, how the business is changing in those kind of ways. Dealerships are starting to kind of dip their toe into the data side of the business and really start to thinking about long-term forecasting and predictive analytics and those kind of things starting to play out. I guess, John, as you kind of look at how things are kind of moving along now, we're at the very, very beginning of this journey. I don't think maybe anyone can sit there and say that are going whole hog into this stuff. But I guess as you're looking at this, there's a sense of, you know, things are still pretty good. So why would we fix something that's not broke?
Well, I think you're right, a lot of the blog posts and some of the more controversial things that I've been touting lately is exactly what you're saying. And the biggest concern for me, as an outsider watching it, is in the last 10 to 15 years, the day-to-day operations in a dealership have changed very, very little. It was 15 years ago that we said, oh, well, people are going to need to have access with their telephones to be able to get good information out of the business system. And then that's kind of where the world stops. You know, maybe we picked up a few technicians along the way, but by and large, it's sad to say that from my perspective, the heavy equipment industry, both ag and construction, are kind of light years behind. They're certainly behind the automotive industry. They're certainly behind what's happening in outdoor power. And when you say people are starting to get their hands on understanding the data elements they have, you know, this is stuff that we told dealerships a long time ago. If you've been a good operating ag dealership using any business system, so if you're been blessed enough to use DIS, you're probably sitting on hundreds of gigabytes of valuable customer data, strategy data, analytics, predictive maintenance. We just in the equipment space never really have taken that and built the algorithms around it to kind of tell us the way the business is going to go.
Right.
And I think if you look at it going forward, they're going to have to do it in order to maintain a competitive position. Because right now, everybody's nipping at everybody's heels. For example, just having protected territory and being a brand X dealer doesn't mean you're going to have everybody take care of you. It doesn't mean every customer is going to come to you. There's new avenues opening all the time. You talk about disruptors. I'm going to change course on you right mid sentence here. One of the best disruptors and you know, for years we've been hearing about the challenges of getting heavy equipment mechanics and where do you get diesel techs and you know, how do we get people to come into our industry and take care of it. I spent some time looking at a new software application that's out right now called Heave. I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but the idea behind Heave is reimagining what a diesel technician will do. In other words, having a diesel technician belong to a particular dealership What's great that these guys are now saying, hey, I can freelance and I can basically become like an Uber driver. Yeah. So, you know, and I got to tell you, because we're face to face and I can see you, I've heard of this. I felt the same thing about Uber when Uber came out, right? I'm going to call a stranger that I'd ever know who's going to show up and take all of my valuables, including my family, and we're going to get in a car that we don't know him. And he's going to take us somewhere that we don't know where we're going, or we rely on a computer to get there. And I'm never going to give him any cash, and they're going to automatically take it out of my bank account. Yeah, nobody thought that was a good idea. The answer is now, I mean, talk about a disruptor. It's pretty much destroyed the rental car industry. You show up at an airport, you don't rent a car. You know, I'm headed out here tomorrow. Now I get on my phone, and at best, I might make a hotel inquiry. But I know that I can do everything, you know, from data when I get there. And I know an Uber driver is going to drive. He's going to be certified. He's going to have insurance. He's going to have everything else. He does the same thing for heavy equipment dealers and for heavy equipment technicians and mechanics. And primarily for the reason that you said, data is widely available now. So it used to be if you wanted to know how to fix a John Deere loader, if you needed to fix a Case combine, you had to have a Case dealer and you had to have Case education to be able to do that. And the fact is data is so readily available now. Repair manuals are available. Parts information is available. Microfiche is available. That now, you know, diesel technicians can start to say, hey, I can do this on my own. How does that change the nature of the dealerships? You could just sit there and deny and say it won't have anything to happen. And like I said, that's what Budget and Hertz did too. This Uber thing's never going to take off. I don't know that it is that Heath is going to do it with the heavy equipment mechanics, but I think people need to take notice, look around, spend some time, you know, to talk to Alex Kraft. He's the inventor of Heath. Look at what their vision is and at least be prepared to be disrupted. And that's only one of the disruptors that can come down the line right now. You use AI as another example. You know, going back to the days when you and I were in dealerships, trying to find a good, qualified, polite, English-speaking, knowledgeable, and reliable parts person, right? Should be able to just place an ad in the newspaper and have a million people show up. Well, but you can't do that anymore. So what's the disruption right in the marketplace? And you know, I've been working with DIS in particular to say, how can we start to use AI in the dealership? How can we start to engage things like chatbots that will say, hey, listen, here's the piece of equipment I have it automatically go back in that mountainous database that you know every dealership has that says, you know, here's the stock number, here's how it's configured, here's the service work we've done on it. What is it that you'd like to do with it? Well, I want to do an oil, lube, and filter on it myself without going to the dealership, have it automatically list the parts for you, create the order, print the pick ticket, and nobody ever talked to a human being.
Yep. That's definitely one of those things that you see. I mean, more and more dealerships now you're using something similar to that with websites where the guy can order the parts they want to have. And like you said, because all that stuff is so readily available, you order the parts and there's a pick ticket waiting there and they go pull it and the guy comes in and gets it. But on the flip side of that, what you're talking about on the AI side, to me is where the dealerships can have some really, really, really big impact on what they see as far as just from selling, just you pick the piece of equipment. So, you know, you've got, depending on how long your business system goes back to, you have 10, 15, 20, 30 years worth of information in there that shows every buying pattern for every customer that you own, that you've ever talked to. And what they're not just on the whole goods side, but also on the parts and service side, what they've got, you can start looking at machinery from the, perspective of, all right, cool, here's a machine, and every X number of hours we see this particular failure pop up. So now you start talking about doing some predictive maintenance stuff that you can look at, you know, before season, odds are you're going to get to this hour point that you're going to see this failure in your machine during harvest. Do you want to fix it now or do you want to just, you know, see what happens? And I think those are the kind of things that are going to change the way dealerships do business, not just because of that. I think that's what the customer is asking the dealerships to do.
Well, I think the customer requires it. You have to remember that the customer didn't hold 20 years worth of data. They just rely on what they know, and they rely on gut instinct. And I don't have anything against gut instinct. I think gut instinct will beat AI every time. However, data wins in the end. Irrefutable data. I'll give you an example. DIS is pushing heavy right now on their analytics applications. And the first thing people say is, well, it's just data regurgitated. Well, no, it's actually data put into an appetite form. So somewhere that you can see it and have it mean something to you. You use service, I'll use parts. I'm going to save about 10 years worth of parts history in my MVIS system or QuickWare. I'm going to go through that. I can have an analytics dashboard that populates regularly that shows me every customer who, within whatever your desired parameters are. Mine's going to be showing me over a 2-year history broken into 2-year chunks. I want to see everybody that's down 20% in sales. Yeah. I would hazard a guess most dealers don't look at that regularly today. They rely on knowing it, but they don't regularly look at it and see what's there. If somebody's buying 20% less from you in whatever the prescribed period is, I mean, obviously you can't do it month over month because, you know, you've got seasonality and breakdowns and things like that. But I need to know on a suitable average, if somebody's dropped by 20%, what's the reason? A system may or may not be able to tell you the reason, but what will tell you the reason is a good product support person. It's the opportunity to then make that call to follow up. And again, if you put AI to work, it doesn't even have to be a person that puts that to work. Imagine you as a farmer now that gets an email or a printed letter sent to you or a text message that says, hey, Jack, listen, I first of all, I want you to know we really appreciate you as a customer. We can't help but notice that you've dropped, significantly in your activities with our company. Is there something we've done? Is there something we can do? We'd like to get your business back. It sounds corny, but that's usually all it takes to get somebody's business back is to ask for it. Give them the opportunity to tell you what you did wrong, correct it, and you'll get back again. That's not computer junk. The computer junk happens well in advance of that. But this is giving you those keys and those cues to be able to disrupt the market. And I'll tell you what, you look at the most successful companies right now, and it's people like Amazon. And it's Amazon with their kind of no questions asked, their immediate follow-up, your order's being shipped, your order's being delivered, your return's been accepted. We hope you are happy. The other day, I turned on my television and it came up and said, your package has been delivered. Would you like to thank your driver? Penny, it's just the cues. It still takes the people in the background. And I think that's, you still have your farmer that needs to be talked to that has that kind of data behind it to market it. So
yeah, the Amazon has changed the way customers' perception of every company operates. And so now people, when they have an experience with a customer, with a company, they're looking at it from what their interaction with Amazon is like. And I think that's what you're talking about there, where, I can track my package all the way through the main, same thing with some other disruptors I've seen in the marketplace. And you see more systems kind of doing this where the customer can have interaction with a specific technician that's working on their piece of equipment, for example, and they can have that open dialogue without having to go into the location to do the walk around of the winter inspection program. They can say, here's what we found, here's what you want to do. I know you live 100 miles away, no sense for you to come here. We can show you a video of what we're talking about or whatever it is. But those kind of things too are starting to make their way into the dealership, where that the customer touch points and the that feel good kind of Amazon feel is starting to make its way into those dealerships.
Well, I think it goes in every aspect of the business that you're doing now, that you need some kind of affirmation that says, yes, I was listened to, yes, I was heard, and yes, I'm being kept in the loop. I know in our service application at DIS, some of the work that I've been doing with them using an application called Notify, where it's in the service department to do exactly what you're talking about. Odd that we, actually have to have an application called Notify. We have to remind ourselves that there's a customer on the other side that needs to be kept in the loop. But keep that customer in the loop. And the other thing is everybody is just looking for reasons to do more business with you. And I'm going to give you a different example. I'm down here in the land of Mickey. I'm about 8 miles from the back end of Walt Disney World. And, I've been kind of, studied Disney since I was about 16 years old. So I have been there, literally hundreds, if not thousands of times. In fact, I'm even an honorary citizen of Walt Disney World, and I attended the Disney University, and I've listened to, hundreds of different presentations on why things work there. But it's interesting because, like Amazon, they set a bar that says this is kind of what the expectation is. Interestingly enough, they actually leave car doors open when people get out of their cars in the parking lot at Disney. It's reported 15 to 20 times a day per parking lot of doors or trunks being left wide open. Strangely enough, you never hear that happening at Walmart or Target. You don't hear that happening at Kroger. People are so excited to get into Disney, they forget to open the trunks. Since they never turn around and check to make sure it's secure because they're at Disney, they know they should be that way. People, once they walk in that gate, feel they're in a whole different world and consequently expect to be treated like they're in a whole different world. Literally everything at Disney is manufactured to make you feel like you're valuable and important. And for that feeling, you graciously open up your wallet and let streams of cash fly out.
That's true.
And you're laughing, but the streams of cash are significant now. I mean, how exciting does a place have to be for a family of four to spend $1,000 a day there?
Yeah. Must be pretty exciting. Place.
I get it, but all they're doing is creating an experience that makes you happy to spend that money. And I guess you're saying, well, how does that equate to the equipment dealership? Well, it's exactly what happens in the equipment dealership. If you ask customers, what did I do wrong? If you ask customers, why are your sales off? If you ask customers, is there more that I can do? Based on what I know about your machine, you have a mean time between failures of 3,600 hours. You're at 3,599 hours. I want you to be aware and know that this is an opportunity. You're not fear-mongering. You're just giving them good, valuable information. Before you know it, they view you like you were Amazon or you were Disney. And I think that's the disruption in the marketplace. AI is going to help this a lot. Some of the new applications, through analytics and Notify and, some of the sales logistics programs and things like that, all of that solidifies that. But you have to have everybody in the dealership, the people, understanding that our goal right now is to be, is to frame ourselves like and pick the company that you want to emulate.
Right.
I know everybody doesn't love Amazon. But if you ask 10 people on the street, do you buy from Amazon? I don't know what the number would be, but I if it wasn't 7 out of 10, I'd be surprised.
I'd be shocked if it was 7 out of 10. I think it'd be more like 9.9 out of 10. I mean, I can't imagine how many, especially in rural America where these stores are starting to contract and less stuff is available, and without having to travel into a major metropolitan area, that Amazon isn't more widely used than what it is.
But how does that differ from an equipment dealership?
It really doesn't. I mean, if you think about it from the grand scheme of things, you're looking at as something that's a service-based business. You're providing a product, and you're trying to keep a customer engaged and as happy as possible. And it's the same. It's the same concept. It's just there's a difference in the way that. There's a difference in the way the customer base wants to be treated now and communicated with and dealt with on a different level than what I think a lot of dealerships are used to doing.
Yeah. And so I would hold, pick the companies that you want to hold up in high esteem. And we chose Amazon, and maybe that's not the right one for everybody, but pick whoever you want. Their success metric is really, really simple. It's to meet/exceed customer expectations. And if whether you're selling iron, parts, service, trying to do predictive maintenance contracts, whatever way that you've got it set up, it's all about that customer expectation. The interesting thing in our industry is we have the opportunity to set the customer expectation. Manufacturers have been trying to dictate the customer expectation, but ultimately where the rubber hits the road is at the dealership. And I think the dealerships have to be able to set those expectations. And if you haven't heard me preach about it before, and I'm going to go now, just so you're ready, Casey.
Right.
Buckle up. Because the challenge is dealers are not pushing those expectations back to their business system suppliers either. So you know, there should be a readily available roadmap between the dealership and their business system supplier that says, okay, you know, I need to know what you're doing for the next 2 years. I need to know where you're changing. I want to come to your user conferences so that I can hear how I'm going to build a better business. You know, what building blocks are you going to give me? I need this. I want that. I have to have this. Those great ideas actually come from the dealerships, and the dealerships will help you build better dealership software as long as they come back and give what those requirements are. Granted, everybody doesn't know about it, but they need to think about it. So you gave an earlier reference to the data in the dealerships. And I think every dealership needs to have a chief data officer. They need to have somebody who really understands the mountainous gold mine of data that they're sitting on. It doesn't have to know how to write it, but he needs to really go through and find it out. Because you were a service guy, right? So you and I could go back and
sales guy.
Okay. So you and I could go back and look at it from a customer perspective then as a sales guy, right? You know, in every dealership, we know how often he's come to the parts counter. We know what parts he orders. We know how many we had in stock. We know how long he had to wait. We know what machine he got it for. We know what repairs he was doing on the machine. We know how long he uses the machine. You know, when he returns the machine in for a trade. We know how often he gets the machine serviced. You know, how he pays for it, how long it takes him to pay for it. Does he take 45 days? Does he make late payments? I mean, you could just expand this out so great that somebody in the dealership has to say, I'm going to be in charge of that data. I think you have to have somebody else in the dealership that has to be the visionary, the evangelist. You have to have somebody there who says, this is where we want the dealership to move in the next 2 years, 3 years. And most dealerships don't today. They're doing business the same way that they did 3 years ago. Or 4 years ago, or 5 years ago, you and I are just a couple of consultants on opposite faces of the earth, and sometimes different countries, and we know enough to say, hey, we don't rent cars anymore. We use Uber. We don't call a travel agent anymore. Do you call travel agents in Nebraska? No, you don't call a travel agent anywhere in the world anymore unless you're in trouble. You do it yourself. You do it on the phone. You know, I found myself in the last 3 weeks. At least on four occasions being involved with a chatbot, telling it what my problem was and how to solve it, and get to the end. And it says, okay, I've accumulated all this information. I don't have a good answer for you. I'm going to bump you to a human being. But that was on four of the occasions. The other eight occasions, I was able to take care of it myself. And I felt satisfied being able to do it myself. So in the dealership, they have to have those roles. If I have somebody who's going to be a data guy, they have to have somebody who's going to be a visionary. And this is all about exactly what you're about. It's about moving iron. And in order to move iron, you really do have to have something that's going to separate you from the rest of the pack. And generally, that's your knowledge. And again, you're sitting on all that knowledge. So that's part of my sermon. The other half comes right back to, we're dealing in an industry now where the typical software providers and the solution providers, they used to be small companies. They used to be companies run by people that understood the marketplace, that, you know, like you, came from a dealership, like me, have been in a million dealerships and seen, you know, hundreds of thousands of work orders generated and stood behind parts counters and dealt with irate customers. What we're seeing in the industry now is a little different, because virtually all of the software providers have been acquired by outside interests. So whether it's venture capitalists, or whether it's, you know, Wall Street money, or whether it's bigger companies, or whether it's actually the manufacturer themselves, right? So we've seen that, where Case has been through that a few times. You know, Deere still in the middle of it. They don't know how to extricate themselves from it anymore. You know, DIS is parent company is Constellation Software. Constellation is building a portfolio of similar software companies. Vital Edge was just sold through, armed after CDK was sold to eEmphasis, and that brought in a bunch of public money and venture capital money. These aren't people that are in the industry. These are people that are looking at, you know, how do we get a 1x, 2x, 3x return on our investment? If you want to look at the long term of our market and our strategy, it's going to take people that are invested in our industry. You know, people that understand that you move iron so you can move dirt.
Right. I think so. You brought up a good point there, and I think on the when you're looking at data people that you bring into your dealership, the thing about you can go hire data scientists and data engineers and all these different things and have them come in and do whatever. The tricky thing about that is you have to have someone that understands the lay of the land that can sit there and point out like, hey, this makes sense. This doesn't make sense. Or, hey, this is how this project should look or not look, and start going down that path and going through those scenarios. Because it's like any other industry, right? If you're the people that understand the business of what's going on around that are the ones that need to be leading those projects. And I think that's where a lot of this stuff gets kind of watered down a little bit when you start looking at what some folks are trying to do is that they're got one foot in the water, but they're not ready to jump in yet. And that's because that requires hiring two or three or four people to handle that data. But my response to that always has been, you really have a machine that's going to print money if you understand what your data is and where to find the next, you know, like you talked about earlier, you know, you're down 20% in parts with this particular customer over the last, you know, 2 years, 5 years, whatever the time frame is, what happened and why, what are they doing? Working through that scenario, you bring that money back into the dealership, and lo and behold, you have a really good opportunity to increase your profit levels.
If it was one of us, excuse me, I've got a yippy dog, and if you didn't hear it, good for you. If it was just one customer that was down 20%, it'd be fine. But you understand that's a flowing tide. We don't even know how many customers are up and down.
We don't know how many.
And it's funny because somebody told me that once you're really smart, it's you're really brilliant because you know what you don't know. And I think that's part of it. I think the other thing is, and you hit on it. It's not a data scientist. It's not an algorithm engineer. It's not even AI that needs to come in. You're right. You may need to hire one or two people or redirect one or two people. And I think that's a critical piece, Casey, because if we talk about what AI is going to do, it's going to allow people the opportunity to do other things. It's not about replacing people. It's about redeploying that capital. So, if we've got somebody, you know, if pick a number, 20%, 30% of our parts business can be handled through an automated basis without somebody being involved, we can take that person and use their intellect somewhere else. And that can be the person that assists the data, right? Somebody, exactly what you said, somebody who knows the lay of the land, somebody who can rationalize what's happening. My argument has always been the dealer principals are fantastic at this. If you take them in a data case and said, hey, why is this happening? They can usually tell you almost instantly. The problem is nobody's giving them that data case. Nobody's saying, okay, I've got these customers in this territory are all down 20%. Is it because I got a competitor? Is it because I've got a weather phenomenon? Is it because I don't have a service truck? Is it because there's, you know, not a good way to get there from here? All of those are challenges that require a person to look at, but you still need someone to extract that data and you know, what are your metrics? Excuse me. What are your measurements? What is it that people are looking at on a daily and regular basis? I'm sure you've heard it over the last 10 years. We've got KPIs. We've got key performance indicators here, there, everywhere. They're wonderful, but nobody's looking at them. And nobody's rationalizing what that KPI is. It's literally just a number. You know, you and I can jump in a truck. I got half a tank of fuel. And you're like, me too. Well, the only difference is we didn't say where we're going. Half a tank of fuel may not be enough.
Right. Yep. Yeah, and I think that's just some of the strategy that you look forward to, at how these things come together. The data side of it is, because I mean, the thing about the customer base that we're working with on the ag equipment side of the business is that it's shrinking and it's contracting, and there's less, more consolidation, less farm customers every day. And as you're looking at how those things play out, you have to understand what are the nuances of the customers that you're working with, and what are they doing, and why are they doing what they're doing. And you have all that, you have every answer to that inside your business system. If you just sit back,
100%.
At least, I mean, you know, at least you know the questions to ask anyway. Let's put it that way. You might not have the answer, but you have the question to get the answer that you're looking for.
Well, and I think that's back to what I was pontificating about before. If you know the questions to ask, it's really important that you go back to your business system, supplier, regardless of who they are, and say, here's the questions that I need to ask on a daily basis, a monthly basis, a yearly basis, you know, whatever it is. And have them provide you the tool set to go against that data, generally through an analytics application or some kind of an AI application that'll give you that opportunity to be able to make those assessments and bob and weave. Because quite frankly, if you don't, I've seen consolidation. You're talking ag. I live in construction. We can have a great discussion because, you know, in Canada, John Deere construction dealers have been reduced to, I think there's two now. I mean, it's literally just, where there was, you know, 10 companies before, there's one now. That consolidation has gone through. It doesn't lift the onus off understanding that those customers can go somewhere else. You know, Caterpillar's market share over the last 25 years has changed significantly from where it was. Are they still a market leader? Absolutely. Are they the dominant force that they were 25 years ago? No, because the world is changing and the world is going to continue to change. The only thing I can guarantee you of, it's changing faster now than it ever did before.
Yep. Yeah, that's the, I don't remember the saying exactly, but something to the effect of the world is, you never see the world be slower than it is right now. And if you put it in perspective, that means that's a lot of stuff coming down, because we've talked about this too on the equipment side of the business, is that every 5 years we should see something spectacular, right? Some new level, whatever it is, new horsepower, or new piece of technology or something like that. Now we see it about every 6 months, it feels like. About every 6 months, 8 months, somewhere in that time frame, maybe a year, but there's constantly new stuff coming out that is updating of this piece of technology or updating that piece of technology, or, and that piece of technology updating has not even been out maybe but 18 months, you know, so things like that, you're starting to see so many different.
Yeah. So I think, touch points, you know, I think we have the same question right now. And that's a great point. I mean, they call it the application of Moore's law, and you know, Moore's law in computing basically was that things will redouble themselves every, I think it was 14 months. I'd have to go back and look it up. But we run, if you say that's happening in the equipment, physically in the iron itself, my question is, then tell me why that's not happening in the dealerships. Tell me what the last innovative piece that happened from a software perspective inside the dealership in the last 5 years, 10 years. You know, I think we're constantly behind the eight ball and playing catch up, and the world is going to be surprised all of a sudden, because somebody is going to come in and disrupt this software equipment market space with something entirely different. Like I said, and I don't have an interest in it, but, you know, an Uber for heavy equipment mechanics. Okay. It sounds like it's out there. But other than that, when was the last time we changed the way the mechanics, you know, opened work orders, built time and labor against work orders and closed work orders. Right. You know, yep. We haven't seen a significant change in that in the last probably 10 years, when we, you know, gave them some of the sales automation techniques or some of the technician automation techniques where they could do it on a tablet in the field. But other than that, we really haven't gone anywhere. So I think it's an industry that's rife with opportunity. And it's just going to be a matter of who shows up with what this great disruptor is.
Totally agree with you, man. And that's probably a good place to stop right there on that last statement you made right there. Because disruptions are coming, and they're going to be coming more rapid now than they've ever been before. And there's a lot of really cool things coming down the pike that I'm a tech nerd when it comes to things. I've got every piece of tech you can probably imagine in my house. So it's one of those things where all that stuff is cool, but it also kind of makes your life. Sometimes it makes it easier. Sometimes you just perceive it as making it easier. But at the end of the day, these disruptions that we see coming are going to change the way dealerships do business, customers do business with dealerships, and especially with manufacturers and as a whole. So it'd be interesting to watch how that turns out, John.
Well, I can tell you what doesn't work. Sticking your head in the sand is not going to work.
Good point. That's a good point.
Because this is going to come whether you stick your head in the sand or not. And the only difference is, you know, whether you keep up, lag slightly behind, or just give up altogether. And I don't see anybody wanting to give up altogether.
Right on. Well, John, I appreciate you taking the time to be on the podcast. If folks want to reach out to you, is there an easy way they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, it's real simple. My email is john@johnanderson.net.
John@johnanderson.net. Okay, John. Well, I appreciate you being on, man, and I hope we can do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
Right on. I'm Casey Seymour with Moving Iron Podcast. Check me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. Go to LinkedIn at Moving Iron Podcast. Check out the YouTube channel at Moving Iron Podcast, and check out the new website, Moving Iron Podcast, or sorry, MovingIronLLC.com for all the Moving Iron information that's there. So with that, I'm Casey Seymour with John Anderson. It's Loose to Iron, folks.
The Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by these great sponsors. Are you looking to value your equipment more accurately, target the right buyers and close more deals, reach your ideal customer? Then look no further. Fusible isn't just about ag data, it's about action. Our best-in-class solution empowers you to value your equipment accurately, make informed decisions, and find the perfect prospects. Ignite your dealership's growth at fusible.com/movingiron-podcast. Out in the field, every decision counts. You wouldn't plant without testing your soil, so why would you prospect blind? Introducing EDA, your one-stop shop for ag equipment intel. EDA goes beyond specs and prices. You get deep dive data on every piece of equipment, like UCC filings that help track ownership changes and uncover potential sales leads, D&B firmographics, which help you understand the financial health and buying power of potential customers, market trends that help you stay ahead of the curve, and insights on equipment demands and pricings. With EDA, you're not just looking at data, you're seeing opportunity. You find the right buyer, sell smarter, and build lasting relationships. Visit edadata.com for your free demo and unlock the power of knowledge. For over 80 years, Iron Solutions has been your go-to data source for ag dealers, lenders, and manufacturers. Get powerful appraisal and value forecasting tools that fuel profitable decisions anytime, anywhere. Get your free demo at ironsolutions.com. Iron Solutions, confidence in every click. Today, there are many ways to finance ag equipment, but nobody delivers simple, fast, or flexible financing like AgDirect. Learn more about your options to buy, lease, and refinance equipment at agdirect.com. Valley Transportation has been hauling ag and construction equipment across the country for the past 33 years. Call Parker at 800-657-4910 for all your trucking needs. At Valley Transportation, our goal is to help you reach yours. This podcast is proudly provided by Axon, helping dealers move more iron for the past 100 years. Find out more at axontire.com. Move more iron with Axon.
Moving iron in the 21st century.